You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
It's not a dead horse. You got to keep beating on this one because Americans are suffering from opioid addictions, from drug abuse. You looked at recently, we talked about it, 93,000 drug overdoses this last year. Okay, some of that was blamed on COVID, but there's some foundational things that play into that. And the drug companies in America now penalize billions of dollars for the way that they handle opioids. We're going to talk about that in great detail. Austin Knutson, Montana's Attorney General, here today in studio on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Thank you, Eric. It's two decades strong, working on three, an objective perspective, and we thank you for making us a part of your Montana mornings for 23 years. Appreciate that. Tom Schultz alongside for Voices of Montana. Also, a bit later on in this program, the Miss America organization is out, and the Miss Volunteer America pageant is in. We're going to go over to Eastern Montana and talk with Jan Holden, who is organizing that contest and has for a lot of years. They're going to crown this weekend the first Montana winner for this new pageant. So why the changes? We'll talk about that a bit later on. But in studio is Montana's Attorney General from Culbertson, a fifth-generation Montanan, and now our AG. How are you doing, Austin?
I'm doing great. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing good, too. I appreciate you being here.
Happy to do it, yeah.
Traveling. What are you doing?
Going around meeting with law enforcement. I mean, you said it in your intro, and you're exactly right. We're out beating the drum talking about drugs. I wish I was going around doing more fun stuff. But we've got a huge meth problem in the state. You know this. We've talked about it. And so today I'm meeting with the police chief in Laurel. I'm meeting with a regional drug task force. That's why I'm in Billings today. Billings is kind of the hub, and it's catching the brunt of this, and we're trying to take a look at what's going on in Montana everywhere.
You've been involved in this fight for a long time, too. So this is more of a kind of a general question here, but how much of it is systematic due to, you know, pharmaceutical companies? What if we talk about root causes for this, it can be different for everyone, but if you're going to try to tackle this problem, you have to kind of get to some root causes.
Absolutely. I mean, this comes down to economics, right? I mean, where there is a demand, there will be supply. Yeah. I'm under no illusion that we're ever going to get the illegal drug problem completely eradicated in Montana and in the U.S. because, I mean, the fact is we've got people that like to do illegal drugs. But we've got some interesting discussions in Montana about what is driving this, because you're right. People are doing these drugs for a reason. If they need an escape, if their lack of hope in their lives, family problems, whatever the case may be, mental health, a lot of times that's a big part of this. You know, one of the things I've discussed a lot lately is we have very few regional healthcare, mental health facilities. You know, in the last 15, 16, 17 years in state government, we've really pushed out of business the local or even regional mental health facilities where we could go with a lot of these people. We know that mental health is more successful when you're getting treatment locally, when you're in your local surroundings, surrounded by maybe your support group. We don't have that stuff anymore. The last couple government governor administrations, the push has been state run and out of Helena, and that just hasn't worked.
Well, the current administration made some moves to try to solve that problem. The HEART program, I think it's called, and I know that Governor Gianforte has also fought against drug abuse on a personal level with his foundation and things like that. So that's got to help in some ways.
It does. I mean, all of those things help for sure. You mentioned an opioid settlement that we're very pleased to announce, a very large opioid settlement against some of the opioid manufacturers. There was a large class action lawsuit brought by several states. We were a part of that. I can't take credit for that. That was really brought under the previous administration under Attorney General Tim Fox. But we're going to announce this large settlement. State of Montana is going to get a pretty good chunk of change out of this. All that's great. We're going to use it for treatment. Opioids really isn't the issue in Montana that it was even just a few years ago. Certainly they're abused here. But it's interesting when you look state to state, a state like West Virginia, I mean, they're a state that really has been devastated by opioid drug abuse, prescription drug abuse. In Montana, it's meth. I mean, it just is. It's a little different animal out here. But yeah, we're taking part in that settlement, and we're going to get a chunk of money, and it's going to go towards treatment.
What kind of restrictions? What kind of strings come with that money?
We're going to have to look at the language of the settlement. Montana was not on the executive committee for that settlement. We didn't have a lot of input into it. There were some fairly large trial lawyer firms that were retained, and they're going to get their pound of flesh out of that thing too. But I haven't seen details yet, Tom.
Okay. Austin Knudsen with us, Montana's Attorney General, went through school in Bozeman, grew up in that Culberson area, as I talked about too, and still live out there. I always got to ask how the ranch is doing, how the kids are doing. I'm always, of course, I love every spot in Montana, and Culberson, I kind of grew up in that area too.
Yeah.
So how are things over there?
Dry.
What?
Dry.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, it's looking pretty tough. I actually haven't been home in several months. We unfortunately had to move to Helena, so my kids are not thrilled. They're not on the farm anymore. But yeah, I keep in touch with the neighbors, and obviously my folks are still out there. And it's scary right now, Tom. It's dry. There's no hay in the country. There's no hay in the state of Montana. I've heard hay prices are through the roof. I'm very concerned about the Cowboys this year.
I know. You talk about gambling. I think Montana's, as far as our ranking in the country, you know, I think we're fourth or fifth or sixth. I looked at that list of top 10, gambling addicted states, so to speak, and 80% of them were agricultural states. I mean, it's a gamble.
Farmers and ranchers.
Yeah.
Every
day. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're addicted to gambling. I'm just making a tongue-in-cheek comment there about that. Let's go back to the opioid thing here and the settlement to a certain degree. Will that, and I know you're right, we get confused because we talk about opioids, and I think people in Montana feel like that is a methamphetamine, but it's not. It's a different problem. It's a lot of it's associated with prescription drugs. We've got two different things here. You've got pharmaceutical companies. Will this pushback change the way that they do business? Will it, and also the medical community?
Yes. So a big part of this settlement and the reason for this class action lawsuit was based on how these companies marketed these drugs. And they also had that they had a third party that also recently just settled. That happened right after I took office. It was their marketing group, okay, their marketing company that they hired to advertise this stuff. They were sued over their deceptive advertising practices, and they won. Got a big settlement. So yes, part of the settlement terms will be changing your behavior. Drug companies, this is how you can market this stuff. You shouldn't be out pushing this stuff so hard to the doctors, because that was a big part of it. They were really pushing the Percocet, really pushing the oxycodone, and painkillers, 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 painkillers. I've talked to a lot of people who've got anecdotal incidents of family members or themselves
a lot
just getting buckets of painkillers. When they get a tooth pulled or something.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was an area that was just really needing some reform for sure.
There are things that we can do on a couple of different levels to help that. Methamphetamine, we talk about that in Montana. It is not at all unrelated to what's going on in the southern border. We can push back against the pharmaceutical companies. Your office has pushed back against the Biden administration regarding their open border policies.
Yes.
Is it having an effect?
It really is not. The Biden administration is not listening to us. Unfortunately, we've had to get their attention the only way they seem to respond to, which is a lawsuit. Look, people need to understand what the meth problem in Montana really is about. This is 100% controlled by the Mexican drug cartels. I think a lot of people in Montana don't know that, don't understand that, or don't really want to believe it.
Right.
But it absolutely is the case here. Nobody is making kitchen garbage meth in Montana anymore. This is all high quality stuff, mass manufactured by the drug cartels in Mexico and smuggled up here across our southern border. So when you've got an administration in D.C. that has flung the door even wider open – Not only that, they've just flat said, we're not going to enforce current laws that are on the books. That's the part that really grates on me, is we have laws for dealing with illegal immigration. And day one, President Biden comes in and just unilaterally says, we're not going to enforce them.
That's one place I wanted to go. Austin Knutson, again, Montana's Attorney General with us here, served as the Roosevelt County Attorney from 2018 to 2020. Also served in the legislature. I think you were elected as the youngest ever Speaker of the House as well.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you still look awfully young.
I'm not as young.
Yeah. Not as young then. Nobody is. But so it's not just not enforcing our immigration laws. There are movements out there, and there's, I don't know if I believe some of the reports that it actually reduces crime. I think that is a misnomer. I don't think people believe that. But we're seeing that on the East Coast an awful lot, Austin, where these attorney generals or these district attorneys are not enforcing laws, and they call them low-level laws, so to speak. What's your opinion of that? What's that overall effect going to be? Do you believe that this is a second chance sort of thing? Do you believe that we're overloading our justice system because we are trying to, you know, get jaywalkers off the street, so to speak? That's an exaggeration.
No, it's a great question, and we don't have to speculate because we've done this in Montana as well. And I'm the first to admit I was wrong here. So in 2017, we had a very comprehensive, they called it the Justice Reinvestment Act. And it was modeled after some legislation that came out of California and several other states. But the idea was, we're going to take pressure off the jail system, off the correction system, by lowering some penalties for lower level offenses, what we call petty offenses, you know, maybe some low level drug stuff, petty theft. The idea was, we're going to have more deferred sentences. We're not going to put people in jail. This is going to save the state money. It's going to be good for locals. It hasn't worked. I mean, just flat out, it hasn't worked. If there's a vote I could take back, I'd love to have that one back. But what I can do now is work with the legislature and say, okay, look, we tried this. It's been a disaster. It was disastrous in California, and we've seen the same thing here. Petty crime has gone up as a result of this. You know, a lot of these criminals aren't stupid. When you raise petty theft from $1,000 to $1,500, and they know they're not going to get charged, they'll literally come in with a calculator when they're stealing stuff out of a store. I mean, this is literally things that we see. So
wow. Really, seriously,
yeah,
I believe that.
Yeah,
and you've seen these. They'll just come in on their bicycles and just grab stuff out of the shelves. And you're seeing now these gangs, these petty theft gangs that are
right.
Going into store. I mean, it's creating a problem that we're going to reap what we sow.
And where I really saw it, I mean, sure, we see it on the petty crime stuff, but we really see it on the drug side, Tom.
Yeah.
A lot of deferred sentences. I know, I mean, I've talked with a lot of county attorneys around the state who are really frustrated. A lot of police in the state who are frustrated. They're arresting people night after night, the same people that are getting in front of a judge, getting released with no bond, which means they're not in jail. They're not getting themselves cleaned up and coming down from the high, from the meth. They're going right back out. They're stealing cars. They're committing crimes. And it's because we've got a justice system and, frankly, a judge's system sometimes that's not punishing people. There's this push towards treatment. And I'm all for treatment. I don't want to be misconstrued here. I mean, treatment has to be a part of our discussion. Yeah. But you have to understand the mentality of these meth-addicted individuals. That stuff is so powerful. They don't want treatment. They want more meth.
I'm going to come back and talk about a couple of cases. One on the national level, defending our Second Right Amendments. I know that the nominee for ATF, David Chipman, has not really been well received by many out there. So we'll talk about that with Austin Knutson here on Voices. Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson is with us here. He leads the Montana Department of Justice, and there's nearly 800 public servants, and it's written here, dedicated public servants. And AG Knutson, thank you for being here. They are dedicated public servants, aren't they?
They are. We've got some great, great employees. You know, it's easy to dump on the quote-unquote bureaucrats, but there's some great employees at Motor Vehicle Division, at Gambling Control, DCI. I've got a great team, for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And you recognize them whenever you can, too. There was a recent story about a Montana Highway Patrol officer assisting a helicopter crash. And, I mean, without that assistance, you know, that could have been a different situation.
Let me tell the story. I mean, a trooper Amanda Villa, I can't talk about her enough. This is a woman that I you talk about heroism. A burning helicopter that crashes in front of her patrol car. I don't know that I would get out and run towards a burning aircraft. I mean, flames literally. And when you see the video, it's even more impressive. I mean, she doesn't think. She runs towards a crashed, burning helicopter and starts hauling people out of the thing. I mean, that is just heroism like I didn't know existed in Montana, and I couldn't be prouder.
I couldn't either. And there was, how many, five people on board?
There was five people on board. One of them managed to get out. And credit where it's due, the pilot did a great job here. I mean, people don't walk away from helicopter crashes.
Oh, right.
He was able to get it down, rough landing. It tipped over in the wind and caught fire. Pilot scrambled out, but there were still four people in there, four DNRC employees that were struggling getting out. And man, she got in there and got him out. And hero doesn't even begin to describe Trooper Villa.
Yeah, and our thanks. And also, you know, they just go out there to do a job. They're just trying to do the right thing for the right reason. And
she was so humble about it. I mean, that was great. I presented her the Medal of Valor last week, and she was the first to just go, you know what? No, you know, right place, right time. Anybody would have done it. And I go, boy, really? Because I don't know.
I love that. That's Montana humility there. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. Lisa, stand by. I want to follow up. Lisa from Miles City got a question here. I want to follow up on that because there's been obviously a national push by many on the Democratic Party, but also extreme left who are saying defund the police, defund the police. And that has to play on the minds and the hearts of our law enforcement officers. How are they doing in Montana? Do they realize that this is just reactionary, or are they taking it personal? When they look at this, it's not necessarily, it's a career choice. It is. But they're there because they've got a heart to help. And
yes.
So this has got to hurt them.
It does. And a big part of what I'm doing, getting out, traveling around, meeting with law enforcement, is to let them know that we support them. Let them know that I support them at the Department of Justice. I mean, I feel like as the chief law enforcement officer in the state, it's important that I go out and tell them, look, I got your back. Truly. I mean, we're not here to throw you under the bus. We're not here to prosecute you or persecute you. We're here to support you because you're exactly right, Tom. They do tremendous work. And the great thing about Montana is that Montanans like their police.
Yeah.
You know, people like going to the coffee shop and seeing the deputy sheriff or seeing the highway patrolman, probably have a cup of coffee with them. It's a big state. It's a rural state. You know, sometimes we're not able to get a cop when we need one at the drop of a hat. And it takes time to travel, which is why it's important we have all of our agencies communicating, working together, and on the same sheet of music. And that's really what I'm trying to get out there and push to them.
Well, thank you for doing that. We thank them here an awful lot, too. I hope it helps you guys. You just have a ton of support from the folks in Montana and really across the country. Okay, don't believe what you're being told. Believe what you know about the importance of your job. Let's go to Miles City, KMTA, 1050 AM. Lisa's got a question for Attorney General Austin Knutson. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, guys, and I appreciate you letting me participate. Montana should be the example for the rest of the country. And I'm calling in today because you mentioned the looting. And when I lived in Milwaukee, the banks had bulletproof glass in front of the tellers. And so if these corporations that are being looted, they probably need to put up some a bulletproof glass so it can't be smashed and they can't get in there.
Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate that. There are steps that businesses can take, A.G. Knutson, and they are taking that. Some of those steps have been extreme in the sense that, hey, if in some of these larger communities, if our law enforcement is not going to enforce the law, we're not going to be able to stay open.
Well, and it's really interesting, like so we haven't seen the looting in Montana, thank God,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we haven't devolved to that point, but we are certainly seeing it in some of our neighboring states. What we are seeing in Montana is, I mean, I've talked to a lot of business owners in a handful of communities in the state where they've got a little more progressive local government, they've got a little more lenient county attorney or city attorney, and a little different idea towards crime and drugs. I mean, I'll just say it. I've had several discussions lately with some people in Missoula, and they're really getting upset down there. I mean, businesses are suffering. They've got a transient problem. They've got a petty crime problem. They've got a huge drug problem, and the locals just don't seem to really want to do much about it. And it's making it worse. So we do have those sorts of situations, and yeah, unfortunately, it's costing businesses. They're having to take precautions of their own to protect themselves, protect their employees, frankly.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else you do in a situation like that. But I think Lisa's right on.
Thank you for that. We'll take a break. Got some headlines upcoming. We'll come on back and talk about Second Right Amendments too. We're with Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson. Here's Brian Bennett with headlines. Austin Knutson, Montana's Attorney General, in studio here. We'll have Jan Holden and talk about the new Miss Montana volunteer program on the other side of this next break. I appreciate you being here, Austin. I really do. Let's go to Second Amendment rights. There's been a lot of pushback on a couple of the Biden administration's nominees to serve major departments. Of course, we've talked about Tracy Stone Manning and the BLM. David Chetman with the ATF.
He
is not, I don't know that, well, I think there's a lot of proof out there that he's not a guy who's going to defend the Constitution when it comes to Second Amendment rights.
This is a very dangerous nominee. So David Chipman is President Biden's nominee to run the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. That's the federal bureau that literally regulates the firearms industry. To me, that ought to be somebody who knows a little bit about firearms at least, and isn't just a blatant anti-gun zealot. But that's exactly what we've got in David Chipman. This is a guy who has worked for multiple radical, far left, anti-gun, gun grabbing, gun banning organizations. Every Town for Gun Safety, Giffords, and we go down the list. He's serving the board. He's very open, and that's to me the most staggering thing. I mean, I guess at least he's honest. He's saying exactly what he thinks. He wants to ban AR-15s. He wants to ban semi-automatic 22 rifles, like the Ruger 10/22. Which, I mean, that's just silly. But this is what the guy believes in. This is a nominee that cannot move forward, but his nomination has come out of committee. It's going to the full Senate. One of our senators, Senator Tester, has not stated his position on David Chipman yet. Senator Tester purports to be a Second Amendment supporter.
He does.
He comes back to Montana and touts that credential. This is going to be his chance to prove it, and I think it's going to be tough on Senator Tester whether he's actually got the courage to vote no on David Chipman, and he needs to hear from Montanans.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I give out their phone numbers quite frequently. I'm going to conclude here because I asked Austin. We talked with Jeff Welsh last week, Montana greats, the greatest athletes from A to Z. From Culbertson, Montana, I said, who is the greatest athlete from Culbertson, Montana? And you paused for a second, and then you came up with him.
Terry Falcon.
Yeah.
Yep. Professional football player. Yeah. NFL. Yeah.
And there's still some Falcons around there.
There's still some family up there. Yeah, you bet. Yeah. I've never met Mr. Falcon myself, but I can remember seeing his New England Patriots helmet in the school display case in junior high, for sure, yeah.
Did it inspire you to go out and be your best on the football field?
I was the worst football player Culbertson has ever fielded.
Is that right?
So it may have inspired me mentally. It did not physically.
That's funny. Well, of course, that was classy, and so you were a warm body. I'm sure you saw plenty of time on the field, no matter what your ability was.
Yeah, like it or not. You had to play football, you had to play basketball, you had to run track, you had to do it all. So, yep, for sure.
You still have an affinity for Montana's small communities, don't you?
I'm an Eastern Montana kid. I am never going to be. People ask me now, where are you from? Where's home? Roosevelt County is home. I happen to live in Helena right now because law says I have to. And Helena's fine. We get along with Helena just fine.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's not home. It's a government town. It's kind of anathema to everything that I believe in. But yeah, look, I'm a small town kid. I'm a Montana farm and ranch kid. That's literally what I grew up doing. I never would have thought I was going to be the attorney general one day, and here we are.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
There are a lot of things that you can get involved in, too, so we don't have time to really get into it, but you got to kind of pick your battles, don't you?
We do. Yeah, there's finite resources in the Department of Justice. I don't have an unlimited budget. I don't have an unlimited number of lawyers. We get requests every day. You got to do something here in this town. You got to do something here in this town. And I would love to tell people, yeah, we can do that. But I only have so many lawyers. There's only so many hours in the day. And there's a lot of big issues going on.
Well, keep doing what you do, okay?
Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
We'll see you around. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson. Back with more from Montana for Montana in just a bit.